Before we begin, I just want to mention, everybody knows that there was tragedy today in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and this is really a first, unfortunately, that it happened in a shul, during the Sikkim Minyan, the Davening Shacharis, something unheard of, and always, these things are always a reminder. That's obviously the point, to remind us, and Befrat, the fact that it happened in a shul would seem to be even more so, coming to bring to our recognition that, we have to unfortunately be reminded even in shul to think about Hashem. And, Rabbi Friend mentioned in his Tshuva Drasha that definitely one of the best ways on a regular basis to keep a recognition of where everything comes from is through brachas. So it is appropriate that, we're learning about brachas, and hopefully if we are mechazik in any of brachas and be mechavan in brachas, it will be a schos for all of us and for the Yidden Eretz Yisrael. So I would want this shir to be Leilui Nishmas, the people who never passed away. And Rafua Shleima for the Chaylim. This week we're going to dedicate to understanding the halachas of Ha'etan Adama. Now, in the context of a few questions, first of all, we're going to discuss how do we determine which fruits are Ha'etan, and what's a vegetable, what's a Hadama, what's the Chachamim's method of discriminating between a fruit and a vegetable. So most of these things you probably know, but we'll just explain why it is that way. what exactly are the factors that determine what's a fruit, what's a vegetable? And then we'll discuss the part that's not as well known, is what situation does a fruit or a vegetable lose its bracha? And there's two possibilities. Sometimes a fruit can lose its status of a fruit and become a hadama, and like turn into a vegetable, so to speak. And certain times, a fruit and a vegetable lose their status totally, and they become a shahakal, depending what happened to it. And then we'll also discuss fruit and vegetable juices, and hopefully we'll have time, and we'll discuss fruit and vegetable soups. Okay, so let's begin with, how do we distinguish between a fruit and a vegetable? So the Chachamim's definition, and the Gemara's definition of a fruit, something that you make a Bayer Pri Ha'etz on, that you specify that this item doesn't just grow from the ground, but rather grows from a tree. So the definition is that after you pick the fruit, the branch or the tree that it grows on has to stay from year to year. Right, so it's not the typical, in botany, it's a perennial or an annual. Whether something has to be replanted every year or whether it grows from year to year, that doesn't necessarily define whether something is a fruit or a vegetable. Specifically, even if it, regardless, it has to the actual tree, the actual stem that the fruit was picked from has to remain from year to year. Now, an example where you see this difference, that there are certain times when something regrows every year, but the actual trunk or the tree or the plant does not survive through the winter, and it just regrows from the roots. So the typical case of a tree where you make ha'etz, of course, is an apple, an orange, citrus, any of those fruit, avocados, any of those things that grow on a tree. The whole tree remains from year to year. You pick the fruit, it regrows in the same place on the tree. So those are always 100% clear that they're ha'etz. The question arises when you have something which the tree itself does not survive, but the root system survives and it regrows from year to year. For example, bananas. Now, if you've ever seen a banana plant, it's interesting because the actual banana plant itself remains from year to year. The banana plant looks very similar to a palm tree. It looks best like a short palm tree, with the leaves, and that remains. But the banana itself doesn't grow off the palm tree as if it would be like a branch holding fruit. The center of the palm tree is hollow, and there's this long stem that comes out of the palm tree way over the leaves and hangs down, and all the clusters of bananas hang from that branch, and that branch grows directly from the ground. And every year that branch, dies and grows again from the root system. So even though the outer plant stays from year to year. So you have a banana tree, you'll have that banana tree from year to year. It looks like a little palm tree. But the branch which creates the bananas, which grows directly from the ground, dies and regrows every year from the center of the banana tree. So even though you have it doesn't need to be replanted, and it regrows by itself every year, but being that it regrows from a root system rather than regrowing from a branch which stays from year to year, that's why it's a hadama. Another example of this is the pineapple. Same thing, same idea. It grows from a central branch. It grows obviously differently than a banana, but it's the same idea, is that there's a plant that stays, and then there's a central branch that comes from the ground in the center of the plant, dies every year, regrows, and grows a new pineapple, and that's why it's a hadama. Another good example of this is the strawberries. After they've been properly washed and rendered edible, halachically edible, but in any case, a strawberry also grows from the root system. Their strawberry does not, the it looks a little bit like a little bush, sort of. Not such a, it grows like other berries, I guess, a little vine. But that vine dies every year, but you do not have to replant it. The root system remains, and it grows by itself. But being that it's only a root system, but the actual plant itself doesn't stay from year to year, so the correct bracha is a hadama. Now, what's interesting about this is as follows. The halacha is that if you make a hadama on something which is a pri ha'etz, your yaitza, right, you didn't have to make the bracha again. Why? Because the bracha of pri ha'etz is just a more specific bracha. Everything grows from the ground. Like, the same reason why if you make a shahakal on anything, your yaitza, because shahakal is the correct bracha, technically, for everything. It is, everything was created by Hashem's word. Likewise, hadama, as long as it grows from the ground, hadama is the correct bracha. Ha'etz is a specific bracha. But if you do the wrong way, which means you take a potato and you make a ha'etz on it, you're not yaitza. It's a bracha levatala, and you have to make a new bracha, because it does not grow from a tree. So let's say in this situation, if you have a banana, or you have a strawberry or a pineapple, and you made a ha'etz on the banana or on the strawberry or on the pineapple, here you would not repeat the bracha. Wow, you would not repeat the bracha. Anything that is similar to those three fruits. These are the most common of that in this category. Because being that it does regrow from the root system, there are a number of paiskim that hold that that's enough to categorize it as a fruit. So even though we make a hadama in order to avoid the question, but if you did make the wrong bracha, you're yaitse. So that's why it's relevant to know the difference. Now there's another interesting category of fruit, which is also the same under the same category of a safek. And those are blackberries or raspberries, which I think basically are out of style because of it's almost impossible to clean them. But let's say they do invent some way to clean them, or they grow them in a greenhouse in a way that they aren't infested. So raspberries and blackberries regrow every year, and the truth is the plant remains. It does not need to be replanted. However, what's funny about them is that the fruit will not grow on the place where it grew the previous year. It will only grow from a new stem. It will never grow on the same branch or the same vine that it grew on the previous year. So you need a whole new stem to grow for it to bear fruit. So here's where it's also, again, the same, another question where do you need that the branch should remain from year to year, or is it enough that the tree remain from year to year? This is also a safik. So we make a hadama. If you were to find kosher raspberries and blackberries, the correct bracha will be hadama. But again, if you made a ha'etz, you would not repeat the bracha. One interesting question is the kiwi fruit. The kiwi is actually a berry. That's what it's classified as a berry, and we make ha'etz on a kiwi because the kiwi just makes it. Meaning to say, it will not grow 2 years in a row. It won't grow 3 years in a row, I should say, from the same vine, but 2 years it will. So in other words, it doesn't need a new vine every year. But by the third year comes around, it does need it. So, but in any case, being that it is able to regrow from the same place at least 2 years in a row, therefore we make a bayer pri ha'etz on a kiwi, even though technically it's very similar to the way a blackberry and a raspberry grow. So kiwi is a ha'etz.
Blackberry and raspberry would be
a hadama, right? But if you were to make a ha'etz, again, it would be the same thing. It's a suffix, so you would not repeat the bracha. Now there is another opinion that fruit that grow even though they grow on a vine, and even though that vine stays from year to year and it has all the other classifications of a tree, but the actual vine itself is a very low vine. It grows less than 3 tefachim to the ground, under 9 inches or under 12 inches to the ground. So a number of paiskim hold that it can't be considered a tree because it's just so short.
What's that? Sorry, I missed that.
That would be the next category, right? So something which grows it's a very low vine, even though it has all the other qualifications. The vine stays, it grows in the same place, and it regrows every year. But being that the vine itself is so low to the ground, so we can't call it a tree. Being that, you know, the concept of a tree is something that has some sort of a height, some sort of a chashivus. Now, there was some confusion in between the Brachas books, apparently some disagreement in the facts, about cranberries or craisins. How do cranberries or craisins grow? Do they grow less than 12 inches or higher than 12 inches? Depending on which book you consult, you'll get a different answer. I don't know, what have you been doing when you made craisins? On craisins, haetz or adama? Haetz, you made it. Okay, that's the correct answer. It is haetz. Some friend of mine actually did some research. He made some phone calls. I think they grow cranberries in New Jersey a lot. And there are different types, different species. Some of them do actually grow typically less, but it sounds like the majority grow higher than 12 inches. It also, a lot of times they cut it down after a certain point, but technically it can grow when it's higher than 12 inches, so the correct bracha would be ha'etz on craisins and cranberries. One interesting exception to this rule is the papaya fruits. Because what's interesting about the papaya fruit is that it has all classifications of tree. It grows very high. It's 20 feet tall. And it stays from year to year. But there's a few things that make it into a vegetable, even though this is not 100% clear. It's also a suffix, but we treat it like a vegetable for the following reasons. First of all, the papaya stalk, which it grows on, does not last for more than 3 years. It dies out before 3 years pass. And one of the definitions of a tree in the Torah is that it has arla, right, which means the tree has fruit. The first 3 years are unedible, and then you eat it after the fourth year. So they say that if the particular tree can never make it past 3 years, there's no way it could be considered a tree. And technically, you'd never be able to eat its fruit.
Kiwi?
I'm sorry?
The kiwi?
The kiwi, the actual plant, remains for 20 years. But the papaya, the whole thing dies. It has to be replanted.
The whole papaya tree dies
after 3 years. So that's one reason why we consider it a vegetable. Another reason why we consider it a vegetable is that, and this is actually botanically it's considered a vegetable, because the actual stem that it grows from, or the trunk, is exactly like a vegetable. It's hollow. It's like a big celery stalk. So it's not considered, botanically it's not considered, does not have any resemblance to a tree at all. It's just a big tomato stalk. Basically, so that's why the halacha is considered a hadama. The papaya wasn't exactly very frequent in the, you know, in everywhere. It's grown in Hawaii and places like that, you know, in the tropics. So it wasn't very, you know, you didn't find it in Europe all that much. But the people, the Sfardim that lived over there, did have minhagim, and their minhag was to make hadama. It's interesting. My aunt was telling me that my grandfather, he lived in Europe. And he went to America for the there was a great fair in 1939, and he came back. One of the things he brought back with him to Hungary was a can of pineapples, canned pineapples, and no one ever saw that before. And he said, you know, they divided up the fruit, and then people lined up to get like a little schnapps cup of the juice. that's how unusual it was. And they never had, a lot of these fruits are not even discussed in the earlier Paiskim, say they never even saw it, people never heard of it. But the more contemporary Paiskim discuss it. Okay, so to summarize, basically the fruit that we know clearly are ha'etz, like, apples, oranges, obviously make ha'etz. The ones that we clearly know that are ha'adama, like potatoes and tomatoes and stuff like that, if you make a ha'etz, you are not yaitza, and you have to repeat the bracha. But the ones which are not 100% sure, even though we make ha'adama, for example, the ones that grow from the root system, like a banana, strawberries, pineapple, blackberries, raspberries, and so on and so forth, you would make a hadama. But if you by mistake made a ha'etz, you are yoitz and you do not make a new bracha. And craisins are a ha'etz. Okay, so that's the first category. Now, what factors will change the bracha of a fruit or a vegetable? In other words, we already know what the bracha is. We know that this is a potato, it's an adama, this is an apple, it's a eight. Now, what can you do to a fruit? How many things can be done to a fruit to change its bracha? So, the first most relevant one, which has become actually much harder to apply in America, and because basically all forms of fruits and vegetables, they're eaten both cooked and raw, just about everything can be eaten both ways. But the halacha is as follows. Anything which is only typically eaten raw, and it's really only a small minority that eat it cooked, then it would be you would only make a ha'etz on it if it is raw. For example, an orange is quite, it's unusual to cook an orange. Not typically, sometimes they use to, you know, for chicken and stuff like that. We'll get to that soon. But typically, if someone would just go and cook an orange, it wouldn't taste all that good. So if you were to eat it cooked, you would make a shahakal. The only time you make a ha'etz on an orange is if it is raw. Likewise, the other way around, let's say buy a potato. Potatoes, as far as I know, are not eaten raw still. I don't think that has changed yet. Mm-hmm. So potatoes are eaten only cooked. So were you to eat a raw potato for whatever reason, it would be a shahakal. It would not be a adama. The only correct bracha on a potato is when it's cooked, and then you make a adama. Otherwise, it's a... So this is the rule of thumb is that something which at least is clear-cut, that it's only eaten one way or another, it's only eaten cooked, then you only make the bracha ha'etz cooked. Otherwise, shahakal. If it's only eaten raw, you only make the bracha of ha'etz or adama raw. Otherwise, it will be shahakal. So now... So a few examples that we could be clear about is I would say, you know, oranges, like I said, like most citrus fruits when they are not eaten cooked. Bananas generally are not eaten cooked. Now, you might sometimes mix it into a compote or something like that. I don't know if you ever put bananas in a compote. But if you were to do that, so that would be unusual. And then even if you were to single out the banana, you wouldn't make a hadam on it. It would be a shahakal. Then there are other fruits and vegetables which are, even though most people eat it one way, but there is a significant amount of people, and it's already pretty accepted to eat it the other way also, right? So, for example, let's say squash, zucchini, right? So typically, zucchini is eaten cooked. I think probably the majority of zucchinis which are sold are cooked in soups or stews or etc. But people do cut it into a salad. It's not so unusual. It's become more commonplace now to cut it into a salad. So once there's already a sizable amount of people that do it and it's accepted, so you would make a hadama on a zucchini even if you were to eat it raw. Even though it's not the majority, but a sizable minority is already enough. another example would be peas, right? Peas are almost exclusively eaten cooked, but lately they've also been put into salads, right? Peas are added to salads and eaten raw. You know, especially when they're frozen, those are non-cooked peas, right? That's how you make. You just put it straight out of the bag, right?
Yeah, but they're frozen.
They're cooked first. Yeah. Even so, I know that there are. Apparently, it does seem the Matthias that people do eat peas raw.
They're frozen. They're frozen or uncooked. I don't know, but fresh peas you can put in the salad.
Yeah. So it is used. Yeah. It is used now for even fresh. Even beans, you know, when they're not dried, they're eaten raw. And again, you could make adama because it's become rather common to eat it that way. However, once it's dried, then really it's not edible. Probably don't make any bracha at all. But if, like, let's say somewhere in the middle that it is somewhat edible, then it would be a shahakal. Because once it's dried, then no one puts it into a salad. And no one eats it in that state without cooking it. So the fact that this particular vegetable could be eaten both ways won't necessarily make a difference if in the current state it's not eaten without cooking, right? We don't say, okay, wait, but beans can be eaten raw. It doesn't make a difference. Right now, once it's dried or once it's gotten to a certain situation where it will not be eaten this way without cooking, again, and you're eating it in a strange way, and you make a shahakal. The only bracha will be shahakal, provided that it needs a bracha at all, that it's edible. Now, pineapples, for example, generally are not cooked. You wouldn't cook up pineapples and eat them in that way. But there are many recipes that call for pineapple, right? There's pineapple chicken or pineapple meat, right? Or, you know, some Chinese dishes have pineapple. So you'll have various dishes that do call for pineapple. And as a flavor or as an enhancer of the food that you're cooking, it tastes good cooked, and it is typical to do it cooked. But being that it's not eaten individually cooked, it's never cooked to be eaten as an individual product, just as enhancing something else, again, it would not be a hayet. In other words, or adama, rather, in the case of a pineapple. In other words, no one cooks a pineapple chicken with the idea of, okay, then you'll group a whole pile of pineapples on the side and eat it as a side dish. That's the way it's done, right? It's just eaten either together with the chicken, or you don't eat it at all. But that's the whole purpose of it. If there would be some new dish that there'll be mechadish, that's the way you do it, that you cook it with a bunch of pineapples, or you cook it with oranges or whatever it is you put on it, and then you push it over to the side and eat it as like a side dish while you're eating the main, it would require its own bracha. But as far as I know, I couldn't think of any example of that. I couldn't think of anything that you do that with. So again, if even though there are times that it's good the way it's cooked, but the reason why it's good the way it's cooked is because it's being cooked together with meat, or it's being cooked together with chicken, it will still be a shahakal. And basically, when you make the bracha on the chicken, it'll cover the pineapple too. Now, you might, after coming to the past two shurim, you might say, hey, it's an ikker tafel anyway. So that's true, but we discussed that if you eat the tafel without eating the ikker, it would require its own bracha. So here, its own bracha would be shahakal. Okay, fine. So that covers the category of cooked and raw. This is there is one other item which we'll get to in a second. That's onions. Onions, it gets a little complicated. Raw, cooked, fried. We'll talk about that soon. But first, as we'll finish this part of the topic. Again, there's four possibilities of cooked and raw. There either it's always eaten raw, then when it's cooked it's shahakal. It's always eaten cooked, then when it's raw it's shahakal. If it's either way, even though one way is the dominant way, but being that it's become normal to do it both ways, then it'll keep its bracha either way. Either raw or cooked, you'll make adama or ha'etz. And if the only way it's cooked is together with chicken or meat, then it's shahakal. Okay. Now, the second way the bracha of a fruit or vegetable will be changed is if it is unripe or somewhat unedible. Okay, so let's go through the cases. So one case would be a green banana. So now, the truth is, a green banana is really unclear. And it's not pashut what the bracha is on a green banana. First of all, green bananas are edible. I've eaten them. They taste like bananas. But let's say it's like so green that it really is like very, very hard and highly, highly unedible. Even so, there is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch about it. So if, for whatever reason, you are pushed to eat a particular banana that's so green, you should try to find something else to make a bracha on. Something to make a shahakal on and something else to make a hadama on, because it's not clear. Obviously, this doesn't only apply to green bananas, but that would be the most common case of something which is really, really not ripe. Obviously, if you were to be growing tomatoes at home and you picked one that was totally green, the same question would apply. It's not clear exactly at what point, it changes its bracha, so it's a suffix. Now, a lemon. A lemon is something which is considered unedible. Most normal people don't eat lemons. Even if you put sugar on it and you make it edible, it's still never grown for that purpose. Lemons are not eaten by most normal people. They're not eaten that way, even though you could technically, get it down. It's not grown for that. It's grown only to complement other foods, either to squeeze it for its juice or to cook it together with something else or to put it on top of something and garnish. It's never meant to be eaten alone. Therefore, it'll always be shahakal. Whenever you eat a lemon, you'll make a shahakal. Another example of that is garlic, right? The raw garlic cloves or garlic powder. typically it's not eaten raw. It's not meant to be eaten raw. It's only meant to be eaten to spice other vegetables, to spice other foods, or as a spice or as a enhancer of other foods. So therefore, if you eat it raw, also it will be a shahakal. So now, and again, spices are the same thing, right? Let's say cinnamon, right? No one eats cinnamon, ground cinnamon. It's not meant to be eaten that way. So even if you mix it with sugar and you eat it by the spoon, it would also be a shahakal. Now, when you talk about onions, the onions are a little interesting because I would say no one eats raw onions by themselves. But I had a daughter, I don't know if she still does, but she would down them. The raw onions, take it down. And I know other people would do it too. I don't think that qualifies as the majority or even a significant... two daughters, okay. So there is something in the Frank family about this. But other than that, I think there's mostly the minority of people that will eat onions raw by themselves. Now, they are eaten with a salad, but they aren't eaten alone. So again, raw onions are really only enhancing other things, and they're not meant to be eaten alone. So if you were actually to eat an onion raw, you would make a shahakal.
What
Yes. If you eat it on your roll by itself, you make a shahakal. If you're eating a whole salad and you take the onion first to make the bracha on it, that would not be the right thing to do. Take something else and make a adam on it, and it'll be a tafel, and that would be the right way to make the bracha. Now, here the next part is a little complicated: cooked and fried onions. Now, for the most part, onions are fried. Almost, you know, in most recipes, fruits, vegetable soups, onion soups. They're almost always sautéed first. Meats, you almost always sauté the onions. If you sauté onions, they are a hadama, because that is a normal thing to eat. Sautéed onions are, you know, even though it's not so normal to eat a lot of them, but they are edible. They are edible. They are a geschmack to eat. Usually it's just not such a normal thing to eat alone. It's like, you know, taking a spoon of peanut butter. People do it. It's done. So it's not, you know, it's a normal thing to eat. It tastes, it's not the only reason why perhaps it's not eaten that way, because generally it's used as, you know, to complement other foods, but it could be eaten alone. And it's made into a soup, as we'll see later, you know, so they are eaten in that form. Cooked onions is a little bit more unusual. Where do you ever have a cooked onion? So you have a cooked onion when you cook it in a, let's say, a chicken soup. You put it in an onion and you cook it, and then you remove that onion and you want to eat that onion. So also, it's unusual to eat it that way, right? For 99.9% of the time, onions aren't eaten cooked. They're eaten fried, sautéed, or raw in a salad, but cooked is a very unusual way to eat an onion. So if you can correct me if I'm wrong, you know, if you know that has changed, or it starts to change, then the halacha will change. But as far as I understand right now, cooked onions, it's still not a normal thing to eat cooked onions, so it would also be a shahakal. Correct bracha would be a shahakal. Okay, so that covers us for this part. So basically the idea over here is, the underlying concept is that not only does cooked or raw play a role, but also whether the food is meant to be eaten in the state that it's in. Is the food meant to be eaten alone? Is the food meant to be, or only meant to be, enhanced other foods? Or is it too unripe, or too bitter, or too sour to eat the way it is? All those cases, if you do decide to eat it that way, even if you sweeten it up with sugar, even if you make it edible, but being that that's not a normal thing to do, the item will lose its bracha and become a shahakal. Okay. The next category, which is also not as common, but might be coming up now with Tu B'Shvat, so is the peels and the pits of fruits. So generally we don't eat peels alone, but the only exception being an orange rind. There are various different ways orange rinds are prepared. They sometimes dip them in chocolate. They used to be a popular candy. And there's also, you can candy them, you can cook it in sugar, and candy them, and then the ikar is actually the rind itself. So there's a big machlokes ha'paiskim, what bracha to make on them. Some say ha'etz, some say adama, some say shahakal. So we go with the common denominator, and that's shahakal, because that will be that will cover you no matter what. But here, if you made any one of the three brachas, you'd be okay. If you were to make a ha'etz, ha'adama, or a shahakal on the orange rind, you would be yaitzeh, because there is someone that holds that way. So you wouldn't make the bracha again. So any one of those are a possibility. Estrig preserves are interesting. So estrig, really, you know, if you ever cut up an estrig, the part we're eating is really the rind. Because an estrig resembles a lemon, just difference being, whereas in a lemon, the citrus part of it, the fruit, the part that gives off the juice, is the majority of it. And then the outside rind, which is a white inner part, and a pith, I think it's called, and the outer zest, which is yellow, is the minority of the fruit. In a estrig, the juice part of it is the very, very small center, and there's very little juice in it. And then there's a thick white pith rind, and then a little yellow outside, the zest. So and whenever they make estrig preserves, or estrig kompot, or estrig candied estrig, it is made with the white. That's, they cut that out. So that's the main food of an estrig, is intended for that, to eat the white. So it is a ha'etz. The correct bracha will be a ha'etz. You know, when you eat it on Tu B'Shvat, if you do, you would make a ha'etz on it. It's interesting that in the Gemara, you find that they actually ate it raw. So I can't imagine how they did that, unless it's some sort of different species of estrig, but they did. It says that they used to eat it raw. Gemara speaks about one case where an Amiris shook his estrig the first day, shook his estrig the second day, took a bite out of it.
And
because it's you're still yaitza after the second day, even if you take a bite. So apparently they ate it raw, didn't cook it, because you can't use it if it's cooked, that's for sure. So in any case, but nowadays it's not the case. I don't know anybody eats raw esrog, but if it's you make preserves out of it, it is it will be haitz. Edible pits of fruit, I couldn't think of any example of that, of fruit. Now, there's watermelon pits that they sell, but I couldn't think of a fruit pit that is eaten, but pomegranate seeds, but that's really the main fruit of the pomegranate. That's a haitz. There is no other, you don't need any other part of it, it's true. Mm-hmm. That would be an example, though. Sunflower is also hadama, right. So I can't think of a haitz of a fruit, if you think of one. In any case, were you to eat the fruit, the pits of a fruit, they are a hadama. If they're edible, the bracha is a hadama.
Of a fruit.
Yeah, the pits of a fruit. Okay, so now we'll go to the more common shaila that comes up with eating fruits and vegetables is when you change their form. So there's a lot of different ways where you could change the form and shape of a fruit and vegetable. Right? There's grinding, mashing, blending, and then we'll see popping and all sorts of other things, flattening, and so on and so forth. So let's go one at a time. So the concept is as follows. The concept is that if you have made a fruit or vegetable totally unrecognizable, in the state that it's in. In other words, even though you know what it is because it has the color, you know, or it's distinctive what it is, but other than that, you have no way of discerning from the texture of what was left that this is the original fruit. Like, for example, when you take an apple and you puree it, you know, you don't just make, so you don't mash it. You totally puree it that it's almost a liquid, it could be strained. So there's no way to identify this as an apple anymore other than you just happen to know that this particular thing is applesauce. So then it is a machlekes. It's not everybody agrees to this, but there are a number of paiskim that hold that you make a shahakal. Once it has totally lost any of its original identity, there are paiskim that hold you make a shahakal. Again, being that this is a machlekes, were you to make a haetz or a adama, depending on what it is we're talking here, you would be yaitza. You wouldn't have to make, if you made a haetz on applesauce, you're yaitza. But if it's totally, totally ground up and pureed where it has totally lost any resemblance to its original state, it is going to lose its bracha and be a shahakal. So what are the typical examples of this? So like I said, applesauce when it's totally pureed, a potato kugel when you use the, you know, not the grating attachment, the blending attachment, or whatever. If you totally pureed the potato, you didn't, it's not pieces at all, it's like a liquid, you know, then it's also that potato kugel will be a shahakal. Another example, obviously, is a smoothie. Anytime you make a smoothie, the bracha will be shahakal. And this is true even if, let's say, you made a smoothie with strawberries, right? And the pits are floating around, so the little, you know, the little seeds. And so even though you see those seeds, right, that doesn't make it. You don't really identify the fruit. The seeds is not enough to identify the fruit. You would have to actually have pieces of the fruit itself, still extant. Some has to have some sort of form for it to be considered that you can still recognize the fruit. Again, were you to make a hadama or a haetz on a smoothie, depending on whatever's in there, whatever the rive is, whatever the majority is, you would be yaitza. You would not have to make another bracha. But the halacha is you make a shahakal. The main halacha, the correct bracha is a shahakal. Likewise, ketchup, you know, all these things, if you eat them alone, it would be a shahakal. That would be the correct bracha. So this is when it's been has totally, totally lost any of its original form through cooking and cutting and etc. Now, where things get a little complicated is that you can have an applesauce which is not totally pureed, right? You can have applesauces that are a little chunky, and this doesn't necessarily make a difference if it's commercial or if it's homemade. You know, you can have either way, either commercially or homemade. It can be either one. So that all is very subjective. You know, if you see that it has some form to it, you can safely make haetz. You see, in this situation, it's good to know that really the majority of places can hold that it's a haetz. Majority of places can hold that a fruit, even if it's been pureed, is a haetz. So if you have any reason to think that there are some pieces to it, you know, you don't have to fret about it too much. You can comfortably make a haetz. As long as if you have any reason to believe that it is recognizable and there is something there that causes you to, you know, identify the original fruit, you can safely make a haetz without having to be nervous about it. Now, an interesting exception to this, where you've totally mashed up the fruit or vegetable, but yet it retains its bracha, are these fruits and vegetables which are very typical for them to get mashed up. For example, mashed potatoes, right? Where the potatoes, even after they're mashed, even though they've been totally demolished, right? You mashed it up totally, did a very good job, but being that potatoes, when they're cooked, they get soft, and really there is no real difference between mashing it and not mashing it. You know, in other words, you haven't really changed it that much. It's not like you've changed it from a liquid and from a solid into a liquid, right? You've just sort of spread it thin. That's all you've done. That's the idea. The idea is that being that it's a normal thing to mash it, and the way after it's cooked or while or once it becomes soft, it really pretty much resembles just about what the end product to. It's not a significant change. Versus apple, right? When you make applesauce does not look like an apple. I mean, you know it comes from an apple, but it doesn't look like an apple. But mashed potatoes look like a potato. You could squeeze it up and, you know, make it reform it, it'll look like a potato. So when the mashing is very natural, and even before the mashing it was soft anyway, so then mashing does not make it lose its bracha. And examples of this is avocado. You know, sometimes, I mean, avocado could be pureed too. But if avocado is just mashed, and or mashed potato, mashed bananas, all those retain their bracha, ha'etz or ha'adama. A good question is peanut butter. I don't know exactly how peanut butter is made, but I think it's pretty much the peanut. It's just squashed between the peanut oil and whatever else they add. That's what gives it that consistency that it is. I think they just remove a lot of the liquid, so that's what makes it very thick. I would have thought, Pashut, that it should be a shahakal, because it's totally lost its any resemblance to the peanut. But I see that a number of Paiskim say that it is still a hadama. It will not make any difference if it has the chunks in it or not, because the chunks are a tuffle. The chunks aren't the main thing. So the main bracha is going to be determined on what the paste is. The chunks won't make any difference. The main thing will be the paste. Peanut butter, interestingly, is there's a very high percentage of people who eat it by the spoon. They might not admit it, but they probably had an anonymous survey. You know, there's actually statistics on it. There's a lot of people that do it, like a high number, 40-50%. So it's done out there. So it is a normal way to eat peanut butter. And once that's the case, then it could be that peanuts are grown expressly for that purpose, and that's what they're made for. So it is Yitachin, you make a ha'etz, could be the correct bracha to make, I'm sorry, hadama. The correct bracha on peanut butter is a hadama. So if you do have that craving, you can comfortably make a hadama on it. That's what the Sfarim do say. anything which is graded, by definition, you can still see the resemblance to the original fruit or vegetable, like a grated potato kugel, crushed nuts. All those will all retain their bracha, they'll be adama, or they'll be ha'etz. Okay, so this is basically the rule of thumb. So the rule of thumb, for the most part, is that if you've done, certainly if you've liquefied it, like blended it into a liquid, it'll almost always lose its bracha. And if you've made it so soft that it can be put through a strainer, also basically we consider it like a liquid and it loses bracha. So that's why applesauce, you know, once it's been that pureed, it'll become a shahakal. In all those cases, it'll certainly become a shahakal. If it's the type of thing which is soft to begin with and mashing it doesn't really alter it all that much, then it retains its bracha, peanut butter being a question. And anything graded, obviously, will keep its bracha because it is does have some resemblance. And like I said, the rule of thumb here also is that if you're in doubt, you can comfortably make a ha'etz or adama, because the majority of places can hold that way. So as long as you have any reason to believe that it is it does resemble, you could make the bracha. Now, okay. So now the other aspect of this is sometimes you can change the form of the shape of a vegetable. Without actually mashing it, that would be by popping it or flattening it, right? So you popcorn, everybody knows, is hadama, even though it's been popped, it doesn't look like a corn at all, but you haven't ground it, you've just changed its form, so that's why it's still hadama. Potato chips, obviously, right, pashat, it's going to be hadama. Cornflakes also are flattened. Apparently there's different types of cornflakes, I forgot which brand is which, but, I'm sorry? Sharpers are Kellogg's is hadama. Kellogg's Adama. Okay, so I remember just the Kellogg's is Adama because they flatten out. It's a flattened out piece of corn. So it hasn't really essentially been changed. It's not ground up. It's not corn flour. You can usually see it on the ingredients if it says corn flour or not. It gets a little complicated though sometimes. It says cornmeal and this and that, but they have good lists out there from the Star K and other kashrus organizations, so you could follow their directions. Interesting thing is Pringles potato chips. Now, Pringles potato chips are made into a powder before they're made into a chip. So really, it would be like you're taking potato powder to make mashed potato, which I didn't mention before. That would be shahakal, mm-hmm. right? Because once it's been changed into powder, it totally has no resemblance to the original potato. So we would imagine that a Pringle, being that even though they've very cleverly made it back look like a potato chip, but that's not the way it was done. And this is the way we all grew up. I mean, I can speak for myself, but I think that's the way all the books used to say. But lately, I heard, my brother was telling me that Rabbi Yashiv later on said that you do make Adama because once they've reassumed this original form, so it could be considered that it does still take on the original bracha. So, again, if you to make Adama on it, you're yaitza, that's for sure. Whether that's the right thing to do, I think we could still continue the way we all did, that you make a shahakal. I still think that's the majority of paiskim, that the correct bracha would be a shahakal. One interesting example where the fact that it's a suffix makes a big difference is by Shivas Aminim. Now, this is not so common to eat something ground and pureed from Shivas Aminim. I think one example would be like a date jelly or like a fig jelly when they really grind it up and they make a mush out of it. So, and it doesn't say it doesn't have any identifiable parts. So when Shivas Aminim, the problem is as follows. It's not so common because even then I don't think you eat it alone. You probably would only eat it as a tafel, smeared onto
what
something.
You could do date balls.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Then you eat them like 3 or 4 dates.
Oh, but okay. And they're all ground up. Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. Fine. So if you have a case like that where it's totally ground up but it's Shivas Aminim, then the problem is the first bracha, no problem. You make a shahakal. The problem is what do you do with bracha achrayna? There's no bottom line when it comes to bracha achrayna. There's either bar nefashis or al ha'etz, al pri ha'etz. And a bar nefashis doesn't cover for al ha'etz, al pri ha'etz, the way shahakal covers for all brachas. When it comes to bracha achrayna, it's either the right one or you weren't yaitze. So when it comes to bracha achrayna, you're stuck. And being that you're stuck, this might make it a little, not so interesting anymore to eat them, but you do have to get out of the suffix, you would have to find something which is a bar nefashis to be able to make a bar nefashis. And find something which is al ha'etz to be able to make an al ha'etz, because it's not clear what the bracha achrayna should be. So here also, and if you don't know, you should not make bracha achrayna, because you don't. It's not like one or the other. We don't know what the correct bracha achrayna is. So you would not make a bracha. But if you would eat one of these situations, again, if this date ball is totally unrecognizable of the original fruit, then it would be a safik what bracha achrayna to make. Okay, let's discuss. We don't have so much more time. I'm going to skip vegetable juices because basically the bottom line is that all juices are going to be shahakal except for grape juice. The only interesting thing about grape juice is that if you make grape juice ices, it's a safik bracha. Grape juice ices are not necessarily hagafen. It's a shaila if it's a shahakal or hagafen. So if you do eat grape juice ices, you should make a hagafen on something and a shahakal on something. It's not clear what the bracha is. So I suggest orange juice ices, something simple like that. Anyway, so that's the bottom line with fruits and vegetable juices. I just want to talk a little bit about soups. With soups, it works like this. The halacha is that if you cook something into a soup, which is normally meant to be cooked, and it's normal to make a soup out of it, so then not only does it stay a hadama, the vegetable itself stays a hadama, but even the soup becomes a hadama. So for example, let's say you made a zucchini soup, and you didn't blend it, right? So you cut a lot of zucchini, you cooked it up, made this a nice green soup, and you have pieces of zucchini. And you don't even touch the zucchini, you just drink the soup. You will still make hadama on the water. The correct bracha is hadama on the water. There's no two brachas, and even if you just drink the water, the correct bracha is hadama. So this would be a classic case where the water gets the halacha of the vegetable itself. And it's exactly in the case I said, that you have the vegetable, it was cut up, it's still there, it hasn't been taken out, it hasn't been strained out, it hasn't been blended. It's a vegetable soup with the vegetables, but your particular son or daughter doesn't like the vegetables and just eats the soup, the bracha is still hadama. The bracha on the soup itself is hadama, and you certainly don't make two brachas. So this is, it's not so well known, and it doesn't only, it's not only in the case of hadama. The halacha would be likewise with mezainis too. For example, mushroom barley soup, right, which has a huge quantity of barley. The water is also mezainis, not just the barley. So you are obviously, if you make a bracha on the barley, it'll be mezainis because of ikar and tavel. But even if you were to just drink the soup, you put your, and you could do that. You could even lechatchila do that. In other words, you could put your spoon in, just have soup in it, and a mushroom, and the bracha is mezainis. The correct bracha is mezainis. It's the water itself.
A lot of barley?
Yeah, and a typical mushroom barley soup, which has a lot of barley. We'll get soon to when it's very little. But in where it's a lot of barley, you know, or a vegetable soup with the vegetable still there, then the correct bracha is hadama. Now, a fruit is an exception. You know, this halacha does not apply to fruits. A fruit soup, the water does not get the bracha of the soup. The water is a shahakal. This only applies to vegetables. It doesn't apply to fruits. So a fruit soup, even though it's normal to make a fruit soup, the water will be a shahakal, and you would be required to make two brachas. Now, the exceptions to this is whenever the vegetable soup is prepared in a way that the vegetables do not remain in it by the time you're done. Now, number of cases. Either you cooked it to the point where the vegetable totally dissolved, or you blended it and it was cooked in order to be blended, like with a good case of that would be tomato soup. You know, there's nothing left of the tomato by the time you're done, or it's not meant to be. And zucchini soups, certain types of zucchini soups are meant to be blended, so you have nothing left of the original fruit or vegetable by the time you're done. Or sometimes you strain out the vegetables. This is more typical when you're using spiced vegetables like, you know, parsley or all other types of celery and stuff like that. You don't want to actually leave it in the soup, so you strain out the vegetables. So even though the taste and the composition of the soup is totally from the vegetable, but being that it was not meant to be eaten with the vegetables, then it's a shahakal. So the case where it's going to be a hadama is only when it was cooked for the purpose of eating it with the vegetable. Even though you, in particular, decided not to eat the vegetable, still the actual water itself is a hadama, and certainly you don't make two brachas. Now, another case, which will be an exception, is if there's any chicken or meat. Once there's chicken or meat in the soup, then we say the water is the main taste of the water, the main chashivus of the taste, the most important taste in the water is the meat or the chicken, and then the water will be a shahakal. And likewise, you would have to make two brachas. You would have to make a shahakal on the water and a hadama on the vegetable, with the understanding that they're both a main component of the soup. There's no ikar and tafel, so you would have to make two brachas. Like I said before, an onion soup, right, so being that the onions are sautéed before you cook them, but then you leave the onions in the soup and it's eaten together with the onions, so the whole soup will be hadama, water also. The water would also be hadama, not just the onions themselves. So now, even though we said that mushroom barley soup is mezainis, that's because it has a considerable amount of mezainis in it. Any soup, though, which does not have a considerable amount of mezainis, which either has some noodles or like alphabet soup, which is a few pieces of the noodles in it, or soups that have barley but not a lot of barley, so then it does not become a barley soup, so it's still a shahakal. However, the barley, if you remember from last week, mezainis always has this quality that it prevents itself from becoming a tafel, so it will require its own bracha. So if you have a soup that has some noodles and has some barley in it, you will have to make a separate bracha on the barley no matter what. Even if it's a small amount, you will have to make a separate bracha on the barley or on the noodles. And here's a very interesting thing. Even though normally the order of brachas is always mezainis first and then shahakal, in this situation you have to make the shahakal first. And the reason is, maybe this will help you remember, the reason is because if you make the mezainis first, there is an element of safek, because there's a possibility that the mezainis covers the soup. So in order to avoid that safek, you're supposed to make the shahakal first, and then the mezainis.
Or the hadama.
Right, correct, right, or the hadama. Obviously, if you did it the wrong way, you still continue to make all the brachas, but the best way to do it, the way the Mishnah Berurah says, the correct way to do it, is to make a shahakal first, and then a mezainis. That's what's interesting about that case.
Is there a percentage that we could go by?
50%?
I mean,
50% for sure. It would be.
Sometimes you have soup and it has a little bit of barley.
Right.
Like like that soup that you made with the barley and the alphabet.
Right.
When it cooks down, or by the time you're finished dishing up, it's more barley and
oh, because you mean the soy in the bottom, you mean.
Right.
So that's what ends up being.
Or it could be you get a bowl and you have a lot.
You have
of
a
barley
lot. It really depends on the soup more than on your particular bowl. Because the idea is that the water has become, you know, barley water, so to speak. So it'll depend on the status of the soup. I would say that let's use the two extremes. You have mushroom barley soup where there's a tremendous amount of barley on one hand. You have the alphabet mixes which don't have a lot of the noodles in it. Forgetting the barley for a second, they don't have a lot of the noodles. That would be the meat. At the point when it becomes suffix, would probably be where and it's not enough that just you can't take a spoon without getting barley, but I would say that on every spoon it's gotten thick because of the barley.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the point when it's really a barley soup. Anything less than that, where it's really a soup, and it's
right.
just barley floating in it,
uh-huh.
then we look at it as a soup.
Okay.
So it has to have gotten thickened to some extent as a result of the
right.
of the barley in it. That would probably be a good rule of thumb. Okay, so let's just summarize this last part. So the best case of where you would make a bracha on the soup, the same bracha that you make on the vegetable, is where you cook the soup with the vegetable for the purpose of eating the vegetable and the soup together, like a zucchini soup that you don't strain out and you don't blend the zucchinis, you eat it as is, together with the zucchinis. Then even if you're just eating the soup, or even if you ate the soup first, you only make a hadama. The whole thing, the bracha of the whole soup, water and zucchini, or individually, is hadama. However, if the intent when you're making the soup was to either cook it until it gets totally dissolved, or to blend it, or to strain it, any of the above, that you're removing the vegetable or rendering the vegetable, you know, non-existent or non-identifiable, in all those cases, it's a shahakal. Why? That's why we make a shahakal in tomato soup, and that's why if you blend the soup, you'll make a shahakal. However, and even if you make a soup with the vegetables, but you put in meat or you put in chicken, again, that will make the soup part into a shahakal. The same halacha can apply to a mezainis, a barley soup, a mushroom barley soup. The barley will make the water, if there's a significant amount of barley, thickens the soup, it'll make the water into a mezainis only. Whereas if it's only a few barleys floating around, there it's a shahakal, and the correct order is to make the shahakal first, and then the mezainis in order to avoid sveikas. And a fruit soup will always, always be a shahakal. Thank you very much. Yeah.